Yes, I had a colleague at Don Road, and the council officers where we both worked, and he joined the Navy at much the same time as I did in 1942, and he was drafted, he was a signalman, and he was drafted to a landing craft rocket. In other words, it was landing craft with rockets that used to be used in times of invasion. And the only foreign service he had was across to Holland, where they bombarded during the invasion there. That was as far as he went. He was at one time stationed at Braintree, where there was a small naval signal station, and used to go on leave to Dunmo on his bicycle. Very different from the other side of the world. My first foreign fort was Cape Town. I had a few days ashore there when I was on the troop ship going to Egypt, and that was wonderful because we hadn't tasted bananas since the war started. Well, he rushed ashore and bought bunches of bananas, brought them back, and the people were very, very kind and welcoming, invited us to our home. For just those 2 or 3 days, it was wonderful. And then, of course, the voyage continued up to Egypt, where it was a complete contrast to living under canvas. Before I joined the Navy, I took dancing lessons because my brother had been a keen ballroom dancer. And so I took lessons when I was about 17, so at least I knew how to dance. And when I was serving in a Vengeance, the aircraft carrier, I had a friend who was also a keen dancer. And whenever we went ashore, where the average sailor headed straight for the nearest boozer and came back in a pretty poor state, we always headed for the nearest dance hall. We had much the better of it, I think, wherever we went. And so we danced in just about every country we went to, ranging from Gibraltar, Malta, in Egypt there, and not Cairo, I'm trying to think of the name of the port, Alexandria, down to Colombo, where we went ashore, we danced there. And of course, when we were in Sydney, it was a marvellous place because there were dozens of dance halls, and we always could find us. British sailors were fairly pop, and we could both dance pretty well, so we had a wonderful time. Wherever we went, we danced.
What was the food like on board ship?
Well, it varied. In the destroyer, and the first ship I had, they had what is known as canteen messing, where the sailors on the mess deck prepared the meals, took it to the galley where the cook cooked it. So you all had to, in fact, we have a recipe book. I've got one somewhere at home, a small book that we were issued with when we joined, a small recipe book, how to prepare food. And so you prepared it on the mess deck when you were cook of the mess. It was a regular job. But the galley actually cooked it for you, then you brought it back. And your old sailors became very good at making duff, as we called it, pudding, whereas your ordinary seaman, anyone, he'd put some rice in a dish and take it up to the galley to heat it up. But the old sailors were pretty good cooks. But then the bigger ships, you merely went to the galley and collected the food, which was already cooked and prepared, and took it back to the mess deck. So there were two different systems.
Any particular favourite?
I don't know. Any sort of stew, I think, was popular if you had the right meat and the vegetables. We used to have potatoes and things like that. We always picked up. The thing everybody had, it was tinned fish and stuff. Herring's Inn, as it was called. But no, we didn't eat too bad. We were probably better off than some of the other services for food.
Any things you absolutely hated eating?
I don't know, I could specify anything I hated, because we'd eat almost anything. Everybody had to do their own washing, and you washed your clothes in a bucket with soap powder from the canteen, and so you had to do your own washing and hang it up on the mess deck to dry. But you learn very early, you don't let things get too dirty, you'd wash them quickly, you soon learned how to do it. But most sailors were very clean and tidy. When you saw them ashore, they looked neat and tidy. It was very unusual to find a dirty sailor with dirty clothes.
How often did you get leave, Tom?
Well, I didn't come home from the first trip abroad. Of course, I wasn't home for a period of how long? I think it might have been 18 months or something like that, from the time of going abroad and coming back. And then again, I didn't come home again when I went to the Pacific and the war ended. So I didn't get much home leave, just one little period between ships. Other than that, I didn't have any home leave. Everybody was having homecoming parties when the war ended. But my father said, "Would you like a homecoming party or a new motorcycle?" What a choice. And he bought me a new Triumph Twin. Marvellous.
You got married after the war, Tom?
Yes, in 1948, 2 years after the war. I met Beryl at a dance at Dunmo. My girlfriends had to have one or two qualities. They had to be prepared to ride on the pillion of motorcycle, and not every girl would. They had to be good dancers, and they had to like sport. And she ticked all the boxes. So we were married within 18 months of meeting each other. We're still married. 4 years later, is it?
I know you always loved sport. Were there many sporting opportunities?
Well, I boxed. I belonged to the boxing club at Felsted before I joined the Navy. And I boxed once at the Folks Hall. I still have a little newspaper cutting where I won a three-round bout on points. That's my first fight, actually, in Dunmo. Then, of course, joining the Navy, I boxed at the Ganges. And on the troop ship, going down towards Freetown, actually, it was a very hot part of the world, they put the ring up in the World Egg and said, if there's any boxers available, we want to put on a boxing tournament. And the officer in charge of our small naval unit on it, because we were merely passengers, said, can anybody box? And I stupidly said, well, I belong to a boxing club at home. OK, he said, well, you're boxing, he said, the lightweight class. And I won the lightweight class. I first of all boxed an army corporal, a little fat chap who really had no idea of boxing, swung his arms like a windmill, so it was fairly comfortable in. Then I fought a petty officer who was a reasonable boxer, a southpaw, and I managed to beat him on points. So that was the winner of that particular class. I was given a canteen voucher to spend at the canteen, 30 shillings, and I spent it all on tinned fruit. And then I boxed again on the way up the other side of Africa and lost on points to someone who was clearly a much better class. But the trouble with boxing in the forces is you didn't know how good the opposition was. When you were an amateur boxer, you were usually put in against somebody of your own standard. And this chap who came in by me had a broken nose and a cauliflower ear, and he looked as if he was an old pro. He quite clearly was, because he beat me on points. And I decided then that forces boxing was not really a very good idea, plus the fact that you couldn't train very well aboard ship, and of course you never knew what the opposition was. So apart from sparring with people for exercise, I didn't box again. Pay was 3 shillings a day, but then we were advised to make a payment home to our mothers, and most of us did. 7 shillings a week I allocated to my mother. But when the war ended, my mother gave me a post office savings book with all the money that I had owned to her. I'm home to a new motorcycle, money in the bank, and a girlfriend.
And back to work?
Back to work, yes. Back to the council offices.
Was there some agreement that they kept jobs open?
Yeah, oh yes, they had to keep the job open for you when you came back. That was 1946. I got home, of course, at 46.
And you made good friends when you were in the Navy?
Yes, very much so. In fact, sadly, one has only recently died 2 years ago. We always, the dancing part, we always went all together, Don, and he came from a little village near Huntingdon, similar background to mine. We were together until I came back home from Australia, and we were given the opportunity to be demobilised in Australia, if we wished. Well, he had got a widowed mother at home. I'd got a mother and father I wanted to come back and see, but he decided he would stay out there. And he settled in Australia, and we kept in touch. Many years later, we decided to go out and see him, and we had 3 wonderful holidays in Queensland, where he had retired after work in New South Wales for years. He bought a plot of land, small plot, as he described it, of 60 acres, and built a ranch-type bungalow there, a lovely area, near the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. And he invited us to go out and stay with him. And we had 3 wonderful holidays at different times. The last time we went for 6 weeks. And he, like me, was a keen sportsman and belonged to the Umundi Tennis Club. When we were with him, we played tennis together every week. We had a wonderful time. So we went 3 times, and then, sadly, he died of cancer 3 years ago, and we keep in touch with his widow.
Did you meet up after the war with people that you served
No,
with?
not with shipmates. There is one that I do get in touch with, and in fact have been in touch with for years. Stan Halford lives in Lincolnshire. And he is a master saddler by profession. He's had his own business. He's now the same age as I am, late 80s. And he about 10 years ago, put an advert in Navy News. If any old shipmates wanted to get in touch, would they write to him and he'd arrange a meeting? Well, four of us did get together up in Lincolnshire at Crowland. It's been fun over the last few years. We've gone up there and spent a night up there and been able to go out with him all that old time. But other than that, oh yes, there was another one, a chap by the name of Snell, who lived at Clacton and was a retired police officer, and he served in the Vengeance with me. We was leaning over the guardrail one day talking, and he said, "Where do you come from?" I said, "Essex." He said, "Well, whereabouts in Essex?" I said, "Darno." He said, "My father's a police sergeant. I lived there for years." And so, consequently, we used to have a chat from time to time aboard the ship. And after the war, he got in touch with me, and we've been down to see him a few times. But again, sadly, he died a few years ago. But we were able to meet again and talk about the old days. But he wasn't someone you would normally make friend aboard ship, because he was a ship's policeman, known as a crusher in the Navy.
They didn't have reunions.
Yes, the Vengeance had reunions, that was the carrier, and I went to two of them early on, but I never met anyone there that I knew. Most of them joined the ship after the war, actually. The Vengeance had quite a long history because she was sold to Argentina, of all people, and she wasn't scrapped until she'd given something like 50 years of service. But she went first of all to the Australian Navy, and then eventually, as I say, ended up in Argentina.
Do you still get the naval news?
Oh yes, I take that every month. I pass it on to other sailors. One is Morris Sage, who is from Great Eastern. He served in destroyers during the war, and I always pass my Navy news to him every month after I've read it. Yes, he's still around.